Good morning, everyone. My name is Kalia Owens, and I am here to bring you guys Through the Nursing Lens, an interactive podcast where we'll discuss nursing news, highlight nursing topics and careers, as well as build our nurse tribe.
On today's episode, we'll be speaking with Dr. Darnell Morgan, aka Dr. D. He's a nurse residing in Atlanta that specializes in clinical informatics. He served the past 16 years in the Georgia Army National Guard. Dr. D began his career as a bedside nurse and quickly became a super user, both for his department and hospital-wide. He eventually left bedside to become an electronic health record consultant, and he's been consulting for over 7 years. He serves as the VP of
Thank you so much for having me. How are you?
I am doing good. We're excited to have you here today.
I'm excited to be here.
Yes. I know the last time that we chatted, it was a couple years ago, you did a go live for our Black Girl Blue Scrubs page, and you were showing us a little bit about nursing informatics. Yes?
Yes, I remember that. It was fun.
It was fun. And so since then, I hear you've been doing some really, really dope things, and I can't wait to divulge into them today. So tell us a little bit about what you are into these days.
So these days, I have substantially slowed down my travel. I have substantially slowed down my travel, and I decided to take on a position here in Atlanta that is very near and dear to me as the VP of Nursing Informatics for Someone Cares, Inc., which is an LGBTQ nonprofit organization. And I decided to do that because, one, I've been with the organization for so long, and two, they really need my help. So I was elated when the CFO gave me a call and was like, hey, Dr. D, we need you to come on board. And I was like, absolutely. Just, you know, let me figure some things out here and there. And the very next week I was starting. So that's been going very well. Other things that are going on in my life. Still in the Army, still doing my one weekend a month.
Oh,
I think I
got
to go tomorrow. you know, still loving and living life. It is 2020 and vision
right?
is definitely 2020. So
Yay.
Definitely loving that and definitely excited about our year, the year of the nurse. So this is very exciting.
That's so great. I actually had a nurse that sent me a t-shirt that said 2020 was the year of the nurse. So where did that come from? Do you know where that came from?
I don't know. I think it came from Johnson & Johnson.
Did they come up with the little campaign? They snuck that in there because I've been hearing people say it and I didn't know where it came from. So 2020
exactly.
is the year of the nurse. Well, you're going to get us right because we are kicking off the new year with this amazing episode. So we're excited to kind of hear what you've been up to and how we can just really learn from your story. So you're in nursing informatics, clinical nursing informatics.
Yes.
There are not a lot of nurses who go into that field from what I find. From what we survey, you know, a lot of nurses either A, go back for nurse practitioner. You'll get a really small slither that'll go back for education and then an even smaller slither that'll go back for administration. So tell us how you got started in nursing informatics, what drew you to the field, and ultimately what keeps you there.
Absolutely. So I was a bedside nurse. And I was found myself training other nurses that were coming onto the floor on the system that we were using at the time, which was Epic. And they would come on the floor or they would float to our floor and they would say, oh, go sit with Darnell. He really knows the system. He's really great at the system and he can tell you everything you need to know about the system. And I was like, okay, great. And then doctors started to come around. Oh, go talk to Darnell. He knows exactly what's going on. And then next thing you know, these individuals will go off to training. And while they were at training, they would know more than a trainer would know. And they started to ask questions. Who taught you this system? Did you know it at your previous facility? And they would just say, oh, some guy over in Med-Surg, Darnell, taught me the system. And it was just like, oh, okay. So one day, one of the trainers came to me and said, hey, I'm such and such. I heard that you do a dynamic job with training. And we want you to be a part of our team. And of course, this is maybe 2 or 3 years in as a nurse. I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. I'm a nurse. I'm not a trainer. I'm not IT. Because back in the day, we didn't have clinical informatics, so to say. It was just called IT. We didn't even consider it an EHR system. We called it a clinical system. So that lets you know how long I've actually been in the industry. So I went to the training class and they said, we want you to do new admissions. If you get a new admission for a patient, show us your workflow, what you do. So I'm going through my workflow. You know, I'm faking like I'm asking the patient a question and I'm saying, click here, click there. And I'm all over the screen. And not one time did I sit down. And they were looking at me crazy. And I knew they were looking at me crazy because I was standing up the whole time. But I was able to use a wireless mouse and go around the room and make sure everybody was doing what they were supposed to do. And when I finished, I realized that it was not really a training class. It was actually an audition.
Oh my God.
It was an audition with the senior. He was like the senior IT manager. One of our nurse managers was there. And I'm just thinking
Oh
she's there to take the class because she wants to know more about the system. And we had some other individuals there that were from HR. And basically that day they said, hey, we want you to be one of our clinical systems trainers. And I said, well, what am I going to do? Like, what about the patients? And they
my
said,
God. Right.
well, we're not going to worry about that for a while. We're going in a different direction with our EHR system. Well, our clinical system at the time, of course. And I said, okay, great. So basically, I went from working overnight as a nurse to actually working with other nurses and other doctors and medical assistants and unit reps and these people and those people. Basically, showing them the new upgrade to the system that we had, and I'd already had an opportunity to train on it. And they just said, go on the floors and just tell them, hey, this is where this is now located, this is where that is located. And basically, that lasted for about a year and a half before I got called into HR one day, once again, and they said, hey, we need to speak to you about something important. And I said, okay, great, not a problem at all. They said, we are going to be switching systems from Epic to Cerner. And we just wanted to let you know that we're going to put you back on the floor. And I said, well, why can't you all just train me Cerner? And I learn Cerner and I work in Cerner and I do the same thing that I'm doing now. And they said, well, that's not really how it works. And I'm just like, okay, well, who's going to do the training for Cerner? They said, well, we're going to bring in Cerner consultants. And I said, okay, great. You know, sounds good. And so, what do I have to do? They said, well, basically, you just pick from this list and let us know what unit you want to go to. And I was like, oh, okay. So, looked at the list, decided to go into the OR and be a circulator in periop. And that's kind of where things kind of went south with me being at the bedside. So, I completely decided 3 weeks later with no job lined up or anything like that to leave. It was a Wednesday afternoon. I was in the OR. I don't know exactly what I was doing, but I just remember staring off into space and feeling tears come up from up under my goggles and tears at the top of my mask. And it was
Oh
wet. It was soaking wet. So I had to have been crying for a while. And the doctor at the time, the surgeon, just started yelling my name. Nurse Darnell, Nurse Darnell. And I just look up and he starts saying something. And it was just like, womp, 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 womp. And I literally was like this. And I said, I quit. I
So
can't
you
do.
pulled your mask down. Let me just give
Well,
y'all
I
this
just
real
pulled
quick.
it down
I'm on.
slightly, like, because it was my nose was curved up and I just pulled it down a little bit. And I said, I quit. And he
I'm
said,
just
what?
trying to give our listeners a visual because I wish y'all could see him right now. He has a little rag covering his mouth. But think about this. Like you in the middle, were y'all in the middle of a case?
We were in the middle of a knee replacement.
Right. So you're in the middle of this case. Your mind is elsewhere. You thinking about how you not living in your purpose, essentially. That's what this is about. We're
Absolutely.
gonna come back to that. But you thinking about how you not living in your purpose, aka you don't want to be here, you're not happy, you're not satisfied, you're not fulfilled, not even crossing your mind that you in the middle of a case. And it overwhelms you so much that you tuck your little goggles and your mask down and let homeboy know, like, hey, I'm out of here. Is this essentially what happened?
Period.
Period. And you didn't think, was it premeditated, like during this process where you had kind of clocked out, were you like, I should quit, or was it just something that you just looked at him and you just blurted it out?
I'm so dramatic and I think everything is a movie and I just blurted it out. It honestly, in my mind, it felt like a movie. It felt like a scene from, Grey's Anatomy or something. I was just like, I quit. I can't do this anymore. This is not, it's not me. For those 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks, I felt like I got fired. I felt like everything that I knew, everything that I love was absolutely ripped away from me. And they just threw me, wherever they needed another nurse. And I did not feel fulfilled during that time. I felt very sick to my stomach every single day. But of course, over this year and a half, I was always contacted by various consulting firms and agencies and kind of like, nurse agencies and things like that, asking me, hey, we know that you're a trainer at the hospital. We wanted to know if you wanted to come onto this project. No, I'm staying at the hospital. I'm never leaving. Like, I have an amazing position at the hospital. Like, I'm not leaving it. Oh, well, we can pay you double of what you're making. No, I'm not worried about that. I love what I do. I'm here. I work 8 to 5. I work some weekends, and I'm not really interested in doing it. So that day that I left, I got to my car. And I just took a deep breath. It was raining actually that day. I remember I got to my car, I took a deep breath, I pulled out my cell phone, and I called one of the recruiters and I said, listen, is that project still open?
Look,
He said,
listen to this.
I don't know. Give me 10 minutes. I'm going to call you back. I said, okay. I pull out of the parking garage, I pull out of the parking deck, I head home, I'm on the highway. He calls me back. I answer the phone. I was like, hey, this is Darnell. And he was like, can you be in Philly on Monday? I said, yes. He said, can you go and get a drug test right now? I said, well, I just quit my job, so I can do whatever you need me to do. And he was like, hold on, what do you mean you quit? I said, 3 weeks ago, I told you they made me go back to the bedside. They, told me that I, have 3 days to get everything done and clean out my old office. And I said, I felt like I got fired. I was like, and today I was in the middle of a case and I just left. Said, I just left without incident and just said, I quit. And without, thinking how the future is going to be, I just walked out. And that was the best career move, the
That
first
you
best
ever
career move
made.
that I ever made was just leaving somewhere where I did not feel comfortable and going into a place of the unknown. I had never been to Philly. I've never just jumped on a plane and went somewhere because somebody told me, oh, we got a job here for you. Everybody thought I was absolutely crazy. My partner at the time was very supportive, but very apprehensive because it sounded too good to be true. My salary basically tripled at that point in time with that one decision. That was already a red flag for everybody. Like, no, they wouldn't be paying you that much. And I was like, no, that's what the contract states. And everybody was very skeptical. When Monday came around, it was like, are you really getting on this plane? Where are you flying to? And I was like, I don't know, somewhere in Philly. And then it was like, well, where are you going to be staying? I don't know, at the Hyatt House, something. I'd never even heard of the Hyatt House. And there was like, are you going to have a rental car? I said, he just told me to go to the rental car place and give them my name and give them the company's name, and I'm going to have a car. That doesn't sound right. That does. I was like, listen, I don't care. I'm going. I don't want to hear none of what y'all have to say. I'm going, and I'm just going to see what is this going to really be about. Because if it's on some BS, I'm just going to get right back on the plane and I'm going to fly back to Atlanta. Ain't going to
So let's
fly
pause
from.
for a second. Let's pause for a
Yes.
second because I want to digest your story a little bit. So you went from, because I mean, it's so much meat to this. It's so much meat to this. So you went from doing something that you absolutely love. So let's go back to the time, to the part in your story where you actually was auditioning for something that you didn't even know you were auditioning for. So you were being, interviewed on the low, which truth be told, we're all interviewing on the low. So I want to make
Absolutely.
sure that's clear, is that every time we show up and we AKA should be showing out, we are interviewing because we're showing somebody who our character is and what we're passionate about. So you showed
Absolutely.
up, right? So you showed up, you accepted that offer to show somebody how to do something, not knowing that this was your grand opportunity. Secondly, you showed up ready. And so I think sometimes we think that being ready has to be, I don't want to say fake prep, because we do think that we're really prepping for something, but it's not authentic, right? And so you showed up with that authentic passion. You said you did not sit down this whole little tutorial that you gave them, right? You couldn't have planned that. Like, I'm gonna stand up for 45 minutes. That's how I'm gonna wow them over. Like, you didn't know that. You didn't even know that that would be the thing that they noticed the most about you, right? But you stood out, ended up getting the opportunity, and then you weren't afraid to take the leap. So it sounded like they tried to take you out of the bedside, and you was like, no, but what about Miss Martha in bed five? And they was like, Miss Martha in bed five gonna be cool, come on down to the office. We gonna find somebody else to take care of her. And then you took on this opportunity. And so what I kind of hear is, A, sometimes we don't know what we need. So somebody else saw something in you that you hadn't quite had that 2020 vision yet. You know, you weren't there yet. But you trusted that, you accepted that, you went with the flow, and then it led to a whole nother opportunity. Going back to when you were in that operating room. So now you just had that opportunity that you didn't even know you needed, kind of ripped away from you. Like, it's become everything to you now. You put your heart and soul in it, you've learned it, and now you're hungry to learn more. And they're like, hey, we need you to go back and take care of Miss Martha in bed five. And you was like, hey, wait, like, y'all didn't let this time. Yes. Does she need help with her admission assessment, or what am I doing in there? So they didn't let this fire underneath you and then tried to take it away. So now you're sitting here, and a couple of things that I saw is, A, not really feeling like you're living in your purpose, right? So you said you were kind of out of it. And I want to highlight that, because I think a lot of nurses don't recognize when they are unhappy in a particular position or in a particular field. And so although burnout is a hot topic or a hot word, sometimes it's not burnout. Sometimes you are simply unhappy. Like, period. You are just unhappy with where you're at. And then you're not being connected to the things you love. So you weren't being connected with some of those day-to-day things that had previously brought you joy. I imagine that 3 weeks kind of sucked overall for you. So not just at work, but you said at home, stomach was hurting. You weren't feeling well. So it really does impact us when we aren't living in our purpose and we aren't doing those things that make us feel good. So then you take another leap. So your body just going through the roller coaster. So you going through these roller coasters. So you take a chance, you fly out to Philly, you trust somebody else. So you trust this recruiter, you fly out there, and boom, you get this amazing opportunity that opens this door. I'm going to jump to another question. Now that you have your fire kind of fueled, tell us a little bit about why you love nursing informatics. Like, what is it that kind of stirred your pot and kept you there? So you initially said you were just kind of good at it, but now you know. So what was your secret sauce in it? Like, what made you like, nah, this is it? You know, you pulled down your mask and you said deuces to the surgeon.
You contaminated the whole field.
And you moving on. Like, what made that different?
What made it different for me is the fact that I was the only nurse. In every position, every role that I've been in, primarily I've been the only nurse in these particular roles, working in IT, understanding not only the clinical side of things, but I also understand the technical side as well too. And a lot of individuals really don't understand when people say, well, what do you do? I work in IT. Well, what do you mean work in IT? Aren't you a nurse, or weren't you a nurse? Yes, I'm still a nurse. Mm-hmm. I'm still a part of the patient care experience. Mm-hmm. It's just I'm the individual that's not only training other nurses on how to utilize the system, I'm also working with other nurses hand in hand on designing the system, because I haven't worked in every department. You all have. So you all feed me the information that I need to build you the best system possible so that you're able to still provide the best patient care experience possible, so that in turn, we're able to review that data that you're inputted into the system, aggregate that data up to who we need to aggregate it up to. And then now we have evidence-based practices. Now we have changes within our healthcare clinics. Now we have extra money going into certain zip codes because they may be high in one particular area, whereas another zip code we were putting money into for, let's say, diabetes. Well, they don't have a lot of diabetics over there, but guess what? They all got high blood pressure. Mm-hmm. Those numbers come from y'all. So that's why I always tell nurses, listen, good data in, good data out. If you just kind of lackadaisical, oh, we'll continue to monitor. I can't review that. Mm-hmm. I can't go and say, hey, look for we'll continue to monitors. But what I can look at is, let's see what their last A1C was. Mm-hmm. Let's look and see what their trend is for their blood pressure while they were in the clinic or while they were inpatient or whatever the case may be. Let's see, you know, what their tidal volume is, you know, when they were in the OR versus now they're in ICU and now we're discharging them. And, you know, we might need to make changes somewhere. We might need to tell a provider, hey, you're doing a little bit too much here or not enough there. So it's like this whole world outside of within nursing that I'm a part of that everybody that works in IT doesn't understand because all they know is.
Would you say that it's still untapped? And when you say it whole world, it just, these questions are like coming to me. So would you say that it is still fairly untapped? And I say that in comparison to other areas like NP that we've kind of oversaturated, although I do feel like people have a genuine love and a genuine interest for it. I think as nurses and particularly as Black nurses, if you see that we're oversaturated in the NP field, you know what, and not necessarily what, but let's look at, okay, we got nursing informatics. We don't have a lot of African Americans in that area. Why aren't we, you know, drifting towards there? So do you think there is a shift happening or you still just the lone wolf out there?
I think there's a slight shift happening. I want to say maybe about 5 or 6 years ago when everybody was talking informatics, when we all had to transition to an electronic health record system. There's still some practices out there, believe it or not, that are still on paper. But a lot of the old school nurses like myself remember when we were on paper. We remember what that four-color click pen during nursing school sounds, mm-hmm. looks like, feels like, and tastes like.
You put your labs in one color. You
exactly. Results in a different color. You better have it on point.
Yes.
And, you know, so those nurses that were there when we had to transition into an electronic health record system, quite a few of those nurses came into the industry mm-hmm. and then found their way back to the bedside.
Right.
Because it was a little too much, much more than they could handle. Everybody loves implementing a new system. Everybody loves roaming the floors during the go live, telling people click here, click there. No, make sure you drop down here, pin the orders to this provider, pin those orders to that provider. They like that part. But now we've collected all this data over the last 15 years. Now it's time to analyze the data. No one really likes that part. It's like, hold on. This isn't as fun as it was when I was traveling all over the country. Mm-hmm. This isn't what I really anticipated is going to happen. It's just a shift in the industry. Mm-hmm. We're no longer mass implementing systems left mm-hmm. and right into hospitals and doctor's offices. They are already implemented. It was required by the government back in like 2008 or 2009. Mm-hmm. Now we have the systems. Now we have all the data. And it's up to nurses that are interested in being analysts now. That's a part of the clinical informatics process is analyzing the data. Now, what are we going to do with it? Mm-hmm. What does this data set mean? What does that mean? What does this mean? And nurses know the answer to that. So those individuals that worked in IT for so many years, now they're faced with,
what do I do with this data?
What do I do with this?
Because they don't know what it looks like right. in the face of a patient or in the face. And I will say, it's so amazing because we don't know our power in that sense. Like, we don't know how much power we have.
Absolutely.
A lot of people can't paint this picture. And nursing school, although it painted a picture for us, we get to spend 12 hours a day, 3 to 4 days a week looking at pictures. And it gives us that keen, you walk in and something is wrong. And you feel it, you sense it, you know, and somebody's like, well, how do you know? They look fine. And you're like, no, something is wrong. And that's the same thing we can do with these numbers and kind of tell that story.
Absolutely. And I have an example of it as well too. And it's really quick. This, we were looking at a data set for blood pressures and we wanted to reach out to patients that had high blood pressure or they were borderline. And he separated his list, everybody that was over 120 for systolic. All those patients, he would say, okay, this is a data set that we're going to use. And I said, that's not right. He was like, but it's over 120 because that's normal, right? And I was like, yeah, under 120 over 80 is normal. I said, but we're not going to call patients that said 121. We're not going to call patients that said 130. Mm-hmm. We need to really start at 140 and over. And if we're not getting the information that we need to get, or we're not achieving the results that we need to get, then we need to go back to the drawing board and maybe go down a little lower than that. But I'm not calling a patient, or I'm not sending an auto text to a patient for 121 over 81. That's right. Simple, not high blood pressure.
And that's the difference between kind of that book knowledge and that actual applied practice. And that
absolutely. Absolutely. Because when I was a new nurse,
you would have called somebody at
121 over 81 up. We need to get them on some lisinopril. Let's go ahead and get some Lasix. Let's do this. Let's do that.
So tell me this. When you get into nursing informatics, I see that you got your doctorate. So tell me a little bit about, A, do you need a doctorate to get into nursing informatics?
No. You don't even need a master's to get into nursing informatics.
Say, hey,
I'm going to let you all in on a really, really, the biggest secret in informatics that no one really knows. You don't even need to be a nurse to be in informatics. Not to downplay any of the other disciplines, there are medical assistants that are doing exactly what I am doing, making exactly what I make. And the reason why is these medical assistants, they're expendable in the clinic, so they're going to become super users first. I utilize medical assistants all the time and train them to become super users, because I can't pull a doc out of a room and say, hey, doc, go and help this doctor over here. I can pull medical assistants because they are in abundance at clinics and they know the system inside and out. They can build the systems. I sit with them because they are the ones, kind of like how nurses are with the patients all the time in the hospital, medical assistants on the ambulatory side of things, they're the ones that are with the patients all the time. They know more about the patients than the doctors do. And when they realize that, hey, I could be doing something else as a consultant, they leave. Individuals that work in medical billing and coding on the practice management side of systems, because there's another side to the system that we all never really see. And that's the patient access or practice management side of the systems. Those individuals, they leave the hospital and become consultants, do the exact same thing that I do and make the exact same money that I make.
So, and it's crazy because I feel like, and I don't get me wrong, I think we need to love what we do. But I think if you're trying to secure that bag, you know, think about just a career doing this for a year, 2 years, 3 years, like getting your feet wet, even seeing if you like it, jumping in and jumping out. Just think about how much that could make a difference.
Absolutely.
So what did you end up getting your doctorate in?
So my master's is in informatics and my doctorate is in nursing administration.
Gotcha. And what made you choose admin?
Well, because doctorate of nursing informatics was not available at George Washington at the time. And so I just took the lesser of the two evils and decided to go. I didn't want to go the education route. I wanted to go more of nursing administration, but I had a heavy focus on informatics, obviously.
Gotcha. And do you feel like having your doctorate, do you feel like it's worth it? So that's kind of like an all-encompassing, the price, the time, the energy, and in the long run. And then do you think it sets you apart? Or, you know, just thinking about how you said you kind of working side by side or heavily utilizing MAs, is it really worth it that you got your doctorate? You know, kind of weigh those pros and cons for a lot of us who are thinking about one versus the other, or should we really do it, et cetera, et cetera.
So when it comes down to having my DMP, and people ask me this question all the time, like, should I get my DMP? Is it going to be worth it? Is it going to be this? Is it going to be that? I got my DMP for me.
Okay.
I didn't get it. I got it knowing full well that I was definitely not going to get paid any extra to have a DMP.
Okay.
I didn't get paid any extra because I have a master's.
Okay.
I got it for me. I got it because it showed me and told me more about myself, and it allowed me to understand nursing on a greater scale. George Washington University will be very upset at this statement, and they hate it when I say it, but I didn't learn much in my doctoral program about nursing that I didn't already know. I learned more about Darnell and how I'm going to align myself in the nursing world for 5, 10, 15, 20 years to come.
This is so
and
good.
That's what my doctorate did for me.
So your doctorate experience taught you about yourself. It brought out who you were and what impact you wanted to leave in nursing.
Absolutely.
Long-term.
Absolutely.
That's beautiful. That's really, really beautiful. So as you're kind of learning yourself and you're really learning what Darnell is made of, I saw this amazing transformation on your page. And a little birdie told me that you lost 45 pounds.
Yes.
Is it 45 or is it more?
It was 45.5, but you know.
Not 0.5. 0.5, sir. 45.5, because I'm going to give you all your credit because I know how tough that process is. Tell us just very quickly, tell us a little bit about how that impacted, you know, just in general, your work-life balance, just as a nurse, being more healthy. You guys can read a lot more about his journey on his page, but it was a very beautiful storytelling that you brought us through your journey of, you know, how you noticed that you needed to get more support with your weight, and then what that process looked like and brought you to that end goal. What did you learn about yourself? Just like that doctorate process. What did you learn about that yourself in that journey?
I learned that I ate too much. I ate too much, period. I learned that I can do anything that I put my mind to as a kid.
Okay.
But when it came to losing weight, it wasn't happening. Mm-hmm. And I knew I needed help. Mm-hmm. So when I went to my PCP, he was like, "You're 270 pounds." And I said, "We need to get on Phentermine." Mm-hmm. "Darnell, I'm not putting you on Phentermine." Mm-hmm. "You already got a heart condition. You got a stent. You got this going on. You got that going on. I'm not putting you on Phentermine." I said, "Well, next time I come here, I'm going to be 300 pounds." Mm. So
what are we doing?
What's it going to be? Right. What is we going to do? Either you're going to write it or you're not. Mm-hmm. So he wrote the script.
Okay.
And, you know, as nurses, we have to trust the healthcare process. We have to trust the treatment process. And you have to trust that things are going to work, but you also have to hold yourself accountable as well too. So that's why I said I ate a lot, because I didn't realize how much I ate until I started documenting everything that I was eating and watching the calories and watching, you know, the carb intake and watching this intake and watching that intake, that I realized, oh my God, I eat a lot. Mm-hmm. And so therefore my motivation was not only not being 270, but it was also, I'm going to eat healthier. And I loved eating healthier. I love reviewing my app first before I wanted to eat something, just to make sure I'm not going to be over for my calories, or I'm not going to be over for my fat intake for the day, and I'm getting as much protein as I can. That part was fun. But what it was also fun is, as I started to lose the weight, that waist line started to get real snatched.
Look,
it started to get real snatched. And I was like, oh,
it's a waist under
there's that tattoo that I got back.
You know, look,
1999. Exactly. And, you know, and once I started to realize and notice the results, I started to love working out more. Mm-hmm. I fell in love with spin class. I used to like running, but obviously bringing on more weight, I was like, I don't like running anymore. So I started to do spin classes, and I love spin classes. And, but it helped me really understand what patients go through. Your BMI is 38.
What does that mean?
Their BMI is 38, and then we're going to give them a food plan, but we're not going to tell them what to eat, how to eat, you know, and all this, that, and the third. But we don't want to prescribe them Phentermine because, you know, it's going to affect CNS system, and, you know, it's a schedule 4 drug and this, that, and the third. But sometimes they might need that, because you can lose that patient.
Yeah.
You know, you can lose it to another provider.
What the patient wants, right? And I think that's what you really saw, is that kind of that empathetic space, where there are times where we can be really technical and we can be really knowledgeable about what's right, but think about, what does this patient want?
Right.
And so I saw you out here with your new little snatched waist and your tattoo. And so tell me a little bit about the fact that we doing the Army one weekend out the month, you doing VP of Nursing Informatics, you out here getting these contracts. And then I saw something about the Real Nurses of Atlanta.
The Real Nurses of Atlanta.
You trying to get your Mimi Leaks on, huh? That's what I think is happening. Tell us a little bit about what the Real Nurses of Atlanta is and how Dr. D made his amazing showcase on there.
So Real Nurses of Atlanta was a, is a movement in Atlanta.
Okay.
It is not just simply a show. It is not simply just an Instagram page or what have you or whatever you all are seeing. It's a movement in Atlanta. And what it was designed to do was show what nurses like myself are doing beyond the bedside, outside the four walls of the hospital. Mm-hmm. And digging deep into our lives and really getting to know who the real Dr. D is, you know, who the real Janae the nurse is, you know, learning who, you know, who the sexy RN is, who Nurse Bay, Nurse Bay, who is Nurse Bay. And, you know, that's what the show was really about, is really digging into who we are and what we do and, you know, getting into our personalities and, of course, the drama.
Yeah, it's always
and that's what everybody wants to see. Everybody wants to see the drama. Everybody wants to see, don't make me take this white coat off.
Right, right. Or like,
because it gets real, whether it's off or on.
Like that. Yeah. And right. We all have had that. So we gonna have to have a whole nother episode called
a whole entire episode, because there is definitely some drama
in nursing.
The Real Nurses of Atlanta.
Oh, particularly with y'all. Okay, okay.
There is some drama. There are some ups and some downs, but you know,
you gotta tell us who you don't like. You gotta put it out there. Who you don't like?
Who I don't like? She knows.
Ooh.
She knows. I mean.
Okay. Okay. So where can we find?
Everybody can't be a cardiac thoracic surgeon NP.
Oh,
but she knows.
Oh, I'm scared. Okay, so where can we follow up though? You can't just leave us hanging like green.
Let's make sure y'all follow The Real Nurses of Atlanta, and we can add the tag in on this post, or I'll add the tag again, or make a post on my page about them. I don't really post a lot on my professional IG. Mm-hmm. I do have a non-professional IG, but also have Facebook, and I have a group on Facebook, and I do a ton of lives in my Facebook group.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about where to find you. So give us all your Instagram.
All the tea, honey, all the tea. So obviously, you know, you all can find me at the Dr. D or at Dr. D Show. You can also follow my personal Instagram page, is at King Cavalli. And if you are on Facebook, you can look me up on Facebook through my group. Is called For Nurses, By Nurses, and Professionals Alike. And when I tell you all, ain't no nurse talk in this group whatsoever. Mm. We travel, we kiss, and don't tell.
I am scared. I'm so scared of this man. Y'all don't understand. Well, thank you, Dr. D, for being so amazing. I will include all of his handles in the show notes below. You have been an amazing guest. You are so
full
of energy. You are so transparent. I want y'all to know we're video chatting as we're recording, and it is adding a whole nother element.
Exactly. To this I mean, because here's the thing. You can hear the voice, but when you see the voice and see the facial expressions and the hand gestures and the pulling of the white coat and the rolling of the neck, I don't even think I flipped my hair for you today.
You didn't flip your hair.
But I didn't flip my hair.
When you pulled that mask down in front of that surgeon, I blacked out. I forgot that we was on air. But we got to close this out. So thank you so much. I'm sure you guys will be seeing more of this amazing man, because his energy is just, it could attract a moth to a flame. Thank you so much for doing another show with us. And we look forward to staying in touch with you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Alrighty, guys, and that is a wrap. I look forward to getting your feedback on today's episode. Please make sure you click the link below to fill out our survey. You get entered into a raffle to win a free gift card. Also, please make sure you guys are sending me emails with your thoughts on our episodes. There absolutely has to be some two-way feedback in order for us to continue to engage. I really want to make sure that I am hitting on the issues that are most important to you and most important to us as nurses. I want to make sure that we're having meaningful conversations, just about the things that we want to talk about. So if there's a topic that you have, there's a speaker that you have, if there's a question that you have, please make sure you guys email me. My email is info@blackgirlbluescrubs.org. You can also follow me on Instagram @blackgirlbluescrubs_. And if you want to be the first to hear about our podcast, live events, or any other special news that we may have, please make sure to subscribe online. Go to www.blackgirlbluescrubs.org. Go ahead and click subscribe. You'll be entered into our newsletter list, and you will receive information, and you'll be the first to know. So we have a lot of great things coming down the pipeline, and you don't want to miss. So again, my name is Kalia Owens. I look forward to talking to you guys again. Thank you for listening to Through the Nursing Lens.